Redemption only through Christ. Christ died on Calvary for the sins of the world. He paid the penalty and cancelled the debt of every person who was ever born. But Jesus did not do away with the law, for it is essential. The purpose of the law is to define the sins for which he died. His death, therefore, establishes the unchangeable nature of law. God set up the plan of salvation so that everyone, whosoever, who chooses to accept it, may have it. The penitent's salvation then starts the moment he or she is justified. The believer is then placed in covenant relationship with God and is empowered to obey his law by the Spirit. Part number one. Justification is made available to all, every person who has ever been born into the world. Following the fall of Adam and Eve, every person inherited a weak, debased nature prone to sin. Beside this, every human being has personally sinned and received the same condemnation as did Adam. When Adam sinned, he chose to break his link with God, except Satan as the master in his mind. After this, it was not possible for Adam or his descendants to keep God's law through any power within themselves. At his creation, Adam had possessed a built-in ability to keep God's law. But once he had exercised his choice to sin, to disobey, to break that law, he lost this built-in ability to keep it. Now he needed a graced-in ability to overcome sin. And in mercy, God provided it, together with a second chance. Part number two, the curse of the law. What is the meaning of curse? As we saw when we studied the parable of the cursed fig tree, this state results from God's withdrawal of his blessing. Blessing, we have often noted in these tapes, means divine empowering to fulfill intrinsic function. This is illustrated in the story of creation. Genesis 1, 21, 22, 27, 29, 2, 2 and 3. After God brought his creatures into existence, he endowed them with power to develop what he had designed into their being. This empowering, Moses noted, amounted to God's blessing. And God blessed them, saying, "Do this, do that." When God cuts off his blessing, his power, and leaves the creature to fend for itself, the resultant state is one of being cursed. Desire of Ages, 583, deals with the parable of the fig tree. Paul explained, "Cursed is everyone who fails to continue doing all things written in the law." This is precisely what Adam and the entire human family has done. This statement does not denigrate the law. It simply describes the condition of the sinner who cannot keep it. Disobedience results in the curse, the withdrawal of the power to obey, the blessing. Since everyone has sinned, that is, broken the law, everyone is under the curse. But Christ bore the curse for every man on the cross, and by his death acknowledged that the law had been broken and was eternal. He obviously did not destroy it, for Calvary validates its claim and establishes the law on unshakable foundations. Jesus died so that the divine empowering to fulfill what he now proposes for man, that is, his grace, might be active within the human personality. Read carefully 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. This power to obey comes only from God. Grace reverses what the curse brought about and gives the penitent a second chance. Once the disciple accepts the gift of grace, as did Abraham and Sarah, he enters into the same covenant relationship with God that they entered and is justified as were that faithful couple. The promised empowering Spirit will help every believer, as he helped the father and mother of the faithful. The question, why cannot obedience to the law bring about justification, is a valid one. Its answer is simple. All human beings are sinners. They have broken the law and are condemned to die. Nothing they can do alters this fact. Theoretically, they might keep the law for 1,000,000 years. But the sins which they have already committed before they decided to commence the life of a disciple condemned them to death. It was for this reason that God sent Christ to take care of the sins that are past. Romans 3:25. Calvary paid the penalty of all previous sins and gives the penitent a second chance. Justification, therefore, cannot be achieved by obedience to any law. Part number 3. Believers justified by faith. Legalism is that frame of mind which believes that the individual can make himself righteous by a careful conformity to rites and regulations. These rules thus become the means of salvation for a legalist. Since man has already sinned, all his subsequent obedience is useless. He stands condemned because of the sins of the past. He needs the blood of Christ to cleanse his past record. He must accept this divine act by faith, without doing any works to earn it. Justification thus comes by faith that accepts Christ's provisions. Abraham and Sarah displayed the operation of this truth in their lives. Habakkuk recorded the universal truth that the just shall live by faith, Habakkuk 2:4. Paul reasons that while it is theoretically valid that the man who keeps the law shall live in them, it is equally true that no man has ever done this, for all have sinned. So any talk about gaining justification by obedience to any law is a useless fantasy. But this inability to obey does not invalidate law, for the law is eternal and unchangeable. To meet this contingency, the plan of salvation brings the sinner to a place where he can keep the law through grace. Part number 4. Law does not abolish faith. Law and faith are two distinct concepts. Law is loving reduced to a code. It describes the relationships which must exist between God and man and his fellows, founded on the principle of love. Faith, on the other hand, is a gift of God which empowers man to do whatever God desires him to do. Legalism, the belief that man's personal obedience will earn salvation, is the opposite of faith, which accepts the power of grace to fulfill the Lord's design. The legalist does not need faith or grace, and overlooks the fact that the law simply defines sin and reveals righteousness, and thus displays areas in which faith must be exercised. Paul then reminded the Galatians that once a covenant has been made, it cannot be disannulled. The law, as the basis of God's covenant, also cannot be altered. God therefore provided grace to enable man to fulfill its requirements through the gift of faith. God's promise to Abraham of a seed actually focused on Christ, who was the seed. God didn't say seeds in the plural, but in the singular, and to thy seed, which is Christ. All who accept Jesus as their Savior, thus becomes Abraham's children. The laws given at Sinai, both moral and ceremonial, defined sin, the moral law, and illustrated the need for a Savior, the ceremonial law. The coming of Christ had nothing to do with changing the moral law. It does have everything to do with providing a second chance for sinners and grace to help them fulfill the requirements of the law. The ceremonial law, on the other hand, pointed to Jesus, the qualities and methods of his sacrifice, his ministry of grace, and when they had been fulfilled by him, ceased to function. Part number 5. Faith does not abolish law. Since the promise of God to Abraham only became operable when Abraham had a seed through the exercise of faith, what was the purpose of proclaiming the law on Sinai? It was added, Paul said, because transgression had grown so terrible and had blinded Israel so effectively that a clear definition of sin was necessary. The law was presented by angels through the mediator Moses amid the awful thunders and majestic splendor of Sinai to display its divine origin and importance. Does this mean that God proposed that obedience to the law should be the means by which the inheritance should be obtained, and not by promise? Paul asks. Of course not, he declares. Had the law possessed the power to enable the observer to attain eternal life, the obedient would have earned righteousness. But that is not possible, because of man's weakness and the sins of his past. But since the function of the law is to define sin and not to give life, the law and justification by faith must be clearly understood and kept side by side. Let's summarize. Justification by faith has been made available to all through Calvary. And the provision of faith and grace, which come through the ministry of the Spirit, make a dynamic change in the experience of the believer. Man's role is to accept these free gifts and then keep in mind the illuminating role of law, which is to define sin clearly and so enable the spirit to bring conviction to the soul. Obedience to law must never be made a mode of gaining salvation, for true obedience is possible only following justification. The law is God's eternal norm of conduct. Faith and law are both gifts of Christ, and each has its place. Neither cancels out the other. In Christ, all the promises of God for sinners reach their consummation.